Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmuck, Jeff Fiegels with you, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Hope everybody's doing well today. We'll take your calls. Giants and Vikings coming your way on Monday Night Football. All right, Jeff, let's get right to it here. A very tough game for the Giants. The Vikings, one of the best teams in football, and they're going to have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, definitely. It was funny because I was walking into the building today and I saw all the players in their full pads. I'm thinking, why is everybody in their full pads? Obviously, Monday night game. So that clicked to me. Yeah, no, listen, Vikings much improved, obviously, with Bradford at quarterback. I think he's found a home there a little bit, don't you think?
And I agree.
I think that their defense is going to be a huge test for this offense. When you're looking up at matchups like we always do, John, you try to find, you know, where's the Achilles heel on both sides of the ball for Minnesota. Not too many. I mean, I think the Giants wide receiver core goes up well against the defensive backs and the secondary for the Vikings. But, you know, other than that, I don't know where you're going to try to find another weak link in this Vikings team. And, you know, they're a team that they like to run the football. They haven't been doing it very well.
No, they have not.
But they're going to do it. They're going to try to do it at least. And their defense, they get after the quarterback. And obviously they've had 8 sacks last week, 15 on the year, so this offensive line is going to have to really play well and game plan around a rush that's from this Vikings team that's really well. I'm sure you're looking forward to seeing this new stadium. It's obviously pretty cool.
And it should be cool.
I know it'll be loud. All domes are loud, so the Giants will have to prepare for that a little bit. But tough matchup here. Got to get back on the winning side of things. And really, John, when you look at what they did last week, and have to improve on this game is obviously penalties and that turnover bug.
Yeah, and look, the Giants shot themselves in the foot against the Redskins. I don't want to rehash that game again. We've done it a million
of
times
course.
Already. And if we look ahead now, Jeff, to this Viking game, you mentioned the Vikings defense. Let's get into some specifics with it as we go forward. They lead the league in sacks. Let's start there. They have 15. They can get pressure from the end. They can get pressure from the tackles. They don't blitz a ton, but they blitz enough. They don't do a lot of games. They run a lot of straight-up stuff on the defensive line. And if the game against the Saints was the first true test for the Giants' defense and their secondary, this, to me, is the first true test for this offensive line.
No question, because you know what? They can do it from everywhere, like you said, and they don't have to blitz. So, you know, they can rush the four, they can rush five, but the offensive line have got to be able to stay on their blocks and really – scheme in a way that they can give Eli time to throw the football, because you know this defense for the if you have the rankings, I know you do somewhere in there, but they're across the board one of the top 6 defenses in the league. So
I can go through them for you real quick just for some of the defense stats. Total defense 6, scoring defense 3rd, rushing 7th, passing 9th, best in sacks, and then the other big number, and this goes back to what we talked about with the Giants, the Vikings second-best team in the league in terms of taking the ball away, Giants second-worst teams in terms of turning it over. So that's a number that certainly does not help the Giants.
And reading one of these stats here, Vikings have as many defense and special teams touchdowns as their offense does.
Yeah, so they have 1 fumble return, 1 interception return, and 1 punt return, and they only have 3 offensive touchdowns.
And, you know, so in my notes, just watching the game, this Cardale Patterson, he averages 30-plus yards a kickoff in his career. So, you know, that's another part of their game they have to be good. And Jeff Locke, their punter, is really good too. I do, but I will tell you this. I know it's a new place to play, and I know that every time that we went to Minnesota, we didn't do very well on the road. The Giants did, at least when I was on the team. But it's a tough place to play. But Giants, got a tough game this week. It's going to be tough to go on the road and win this one, especially with some of the injury bugs that have reared their ugly head this last week too.
Absolutely, and when you have a noisy place like that, Jeff, and it's going to be noisy, and I'll get back to numbers in the second we change gears, how do you deal with a place that has that type of noise, especially if you're an offense?
Well, I think that, you know, this offense for the Giants, they're a no huddle, so they're used to kind of doing hand signals and things like that. So I think they have an advantage there, because using hand signals, obviously you're using your hands to call the plays and things like that. So I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem. They obviously will have some music or noise and airplane noises, whatever it is, the practice is to try to get used to the sound.
Does that make it tougher, though, for offensive linemen to get off the snap quickly and then maybe give you an extra half step for the already impressive Vikings, defensive line to get after the quarterback?
I think so. I mean, you've seen around the league now where they the guard now looks back at the quarterback and then he taps the center, and then the center snaps it when he's ready to go. But, yeah, I mean, certainly in practice you're used to hearing a cadence, where in the game you're not going to hear anything. You're just going to have to react to the ball, and that does get an advantage to that defensive line.
Are the Giants, do you think, especially with the injury to Rashad Jennings, who knows if he's going to play, Shane Vereen out, are the Giants going to be able to run the ball on the Vikings this on Monday night?
Well, I think they're going to have to, because I think that this Giants offense wants to run the football, and so that they don't become that one-dimensional team. But, you know, who's going to be that guy? I mean, Darkwa, it will be the runner guy if Jennings isn't able to go. And you got Bobby Rainey, who was, you know, did a nice job last week. And, you know, unfortunate that the two injuries to your two starting running backs is really going to hurt you. But to answer your question, John, I think they can run the football. It's just going to have to be – it's going to be a tough chore, but they're going to have to.
And in terms of Sam Bradford, offensively for the Vikings, very quickly, you mentioned they have not run the ball well. In fact, last week, only 2.5 yards per carry for Matt Gaziata, 2.8 for Jerick McKinnon. Adrian Peterson wasn't running the ball well before he got hurt. They've lost two offensive linemen for the year, have the Vikings, Khalil and Boone. So they have a lot of issues on that offensive line. But Bradford has looked comfortable. He's averaging almost 230 yards per game in the two starts he's had, completing 68% of his passes, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions.
And then you look at what happened in the game last week with Eli Apple and DRC out of the game.
Yeah.
I think you could see that Kirk Cousins became very comfortable too. So I think that with that type of injuries to those guys, we have to see what happens at the safety position. You know, where does Leon Hall fit in this if Nat Burhe can't go, if he didn't come out of his concussion protocol? So there's a lot of personnel situations to identify going into this game. But when we were talking about do they have to run the football, when you look at the Giants' side of things with defensively in the backfield, they've got some injuries, and they're going to have to do something to combat Sam Bradford, to get comfortable and throwing the ball around there.
My favorite stat, I think, from this week is...
Your favorites?
Yeah, this is my favorite. The Vikings, in their last 6 games, including the playoffs last year, have held their opponents to a 1-5 record and opposing quarterbacks to a 58% completion percentage, 6 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
Wow.
They've been sacked 4.3 times per game for a 67.9 quarterback rating. Now you say, all right, well, that's fine. Well, who are the opponents?
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers twice, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, Eli Manning, and Marcus Mariota.
That's why you like that. Marcus Mariota, okay, yeah, all right. But the rest of them, the other 5?
Pretty good.
Pretty not top-notch, all Pro Bowl guys. Yeah, that's and you know, really, when you look at what Eli does against the Vikings, he's not his favorite team to go against.
I can give you those numbers, too.
Oh, really?
Aren't quite as positive.
That's amazing how you just kind of...
Bob Papa has those. This is via Bob Papa. Versus Minnesota's career, Eli Manning, 2-5. 54% completion percentage, just over 200 yards per game, 5 touchdowns. Guess how many interceptions?
10?
14. Sacked 16 times, a 55 quarterback rating. Not one 300-yard game against the Minnesota Vikings.
Maybe.
But luckily, Darren Sharper's not playing for
him. That's right. Maybe Eli doesn't like purple. Probably one of his favorite colors.
Yeah.
You know,
doesn't seem that way, does it?
No. Wow. Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's funny because some players, it's just, you know, there are certain teams they just don't play well against. And you say, why?
Yeah.
Why is this? Sometimes you just can't figure it out. But, you know, it's not all on Eli there. I mean, the defense last year just didn't play well either. But so what can Eli to do? What does he have to do to play better in this game? I think he has to continue what he's doing now, and that's his completion percentage. You know, making good reads and making good throws and not turning the ball over. If you heard anything, you know, listen to him talk about the turnovers he had last game, they're all preventable. They weren't just, you know, throwing it up there. He's just, you know, I think the Will Tye one, he defended Will Tye. I don't think that he wanted to throw him under the bus. But
that's because that's the type of guy that Eli
is. But I think that, you know, there was a little bit of both of them there. And then the one day in the game the other day he talked about, which is can be correctable too. So, and, you know, really when you look at that game, Eli missed a lot of open receivers. And it's easy for us to say we're not on the field with guys running at us and, you know, making calls and stuff. So,
though in fairness, I believe, and let me see if the stat is still up to date, and I think it is, Eli Manning this year has only been hit 7 times this season.
I saw that.
Fewest with Derek Carr for fewest times hit. That might change this week. And honestly, all jokes aside,
yeah, I mean,
the Giants have a real challenge. I mean, the Vikings are a really good pass-rushing team, one of the most underrated and least talked about excellent pass rushers on the Vikings defensive line, Everson Griffin. He has 4 sacks this year, 7 quarterback hits. And did you know that he's only one of 3 players to have double-digit sacks in both 2014 and 2015, along with J.J. Watt and Von Miller? Everyone knows J.J. Watt and
Von
Miller.
Nobody knows Everson Griffin, though.
No, they don't. They do not.
No, and that's pretty impressive. In fact, I don't really know him that well. And if he had back-to-back double-digit sacks, I'm guessing he was a Pro Bowler, right?
Now, that's a good question. I'm not sure if he was or not.
I mean, you would hope so. You certainly would hope so. But, yeah, so anyways, I think that, you know, really coming in, this is a Thursday practice, even though it's Friday for everybody that wants to know about how the schedule is for the players. And, you know, today is a full padded practice because of the Monday night game. And tomorrow will be a Friday practice on a Saturday. So everything gets scooted by. And, you know, one good thing about having a Monday night, and I
say – one Pro Bowl for Everson Griffin, by the way. 2015. That's it.
You know, really, John, back in the day – and I say back in the day, like in the 90s when I was playing, Monday night was the game.
Yeah, it was. Not
you know
anymore.
What I mean? Sunday night's the game now, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So the Monday game, I hated the Monday games because, you know, you're traveling on Sunday. You miss all of the football games pretty much that are going on.
Yeah.
Which really stinks. And then Monday you get to do is see the ESPN reruns of it.
Right.
Nothing on. And then you got to wait till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night to play the game. And then you have a short week. You get back late early in the morning on Tuesday. The good thing about Monday night is you get one extra day of rest to heal up some guys that got hurt in the previous game. So hopefully that day will help a lot of the other players that got banged up in the game last week. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I was right before I came on the air with you, I saw Shane Vereen, and he had his arm in the cast and whatever you call it. And
sling.
Sling. No, it actually, you know, actually his arm was straight.
Oh, so really?
I think they're trying to.
Well, it makes sense. If you have a tricep injury,
yeah.
you want to keep it. That's makes
And
sense.
I had
that
asked him,
sense.
I said, you know, a tricep injury, we hear of like pecs and things like that. And he said that he went through the whole game. I mean, he felt.
Does he know when he heard it?
He said he heard it on the first touchdown.
Get out of here, really?
He said he thought somebody had punched him in the tricep.
And it was just a muscle ripping.
Yeah, and he said it stung, and he says, you know, but being a running back, we're always getting hit from every which way, and he didn't really think much about it.
Wow.
He says as the game went on, he felt it starting to swell up, and he thought it was just kind of a bruise or something. Then he started to lose his motion with this.
Then I wonder if that's why he didn't play as much in the second half. It
I
probably
think so.
Was.
But he was in good spirits, and so we wish him the best of luck. And Paul Dottino asked him the question, do you think you'll be able to come back this year? He says, I'm going to work on it.
And by the way, before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513, let's open up the phones. We have some open lines here if you want to get in and talk Giants and Vikings. Let's talk about some of the Giants' injuries here, Jeff, because there's a few of them, especially at the same position group, and we always joke about how you can never have enough position depth, especially a defensive back, and that's really been the case for the Giants the last few years. Well, now it's the case for them again. Because yesterday they basically had 2 healthy full-time safeties in Andrew Adams and Landon Collins, with Leon Hall kind of going back and forth between safety and corner. And they only had a couple of healthy cornerbacks as well. So this is going to be a real problem. Now, it's not as much of a problem against the Vikings because the way they play, they're not exactly a spread them out, chuck it down the field type of offense.
But they have some good weapons.
But Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, we have not gotten the practice injury report yet from today. Same with Eli Apple. We don't know. What do you have for me, Jeff?
You shall receive.
What do you got?
Well, Eli Apple and DRC were on the side today.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that'll answer your
question. So they were not practicing. They were with the trainers.
Jennings, and
frankly, that's probably not a great sign for Monday.
That's not a good sign if they're out on the bike or whatever they're doing. Because that means that they're going to miss another day of practice. Not to say that they couldn't come in. They're 2 veterans, but not a veteran.
And again, who knows? As practice goes on, maybe they'll
move
go
over
on the field.
Yeah.
And we'll have to see what happens with that, folks. That's simply what Jeff saw when he was, you know, watching the beginning of practice, the only part of practice that's open to the media. We'll see if they end up on the post-practice injury report, what they end up doing.
Nat Burhe is still in his concussion protocol, so he's not even here.
And it's funny, we've talked about that before, the way he lowers his head to hit people sometimes.
Yeah.
You don't have a chance of injuring somebody else. You have a chance of injuring yourself.
And he is a missile. He's a heat-seeking head missile. He tries to lay it on you, but, you know, like you said, that you're putting yourself in danger that way. It looks like you mentioned Adams and Leon Hall were kind of out there.
And Darian Thompson's still in a boot. He's not ready to go
still in
yet.
A boot. And no Marshall Newhouse.
And, oh, yeah, he's got the calf. So it looks like Bobby Hart again at right tackle. Yep. And this will be the last thing I say before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513. Again, we have a couple of lines if you want to get in and chat. We're right here with you. I never want to say don't come back if you can, but I will say this. You can survive this game against the Vikings without all your pieces in the secondary.
Okay.
Because the way they play.
All right.
They have Stephon Diggs, and then after that, you know, Laquon Treadwell, their first-round pick, has barely played this year.
Yeah.
Their second wide receiver, you know, nothing to write home about. Kyle Rudolph is fine, but they're a team that's going to try to beat you with their defense.
No question.
These guys have to be on the field next week for Green Bay, or it's going to be an air show, and it's going to be a problem. So I would think about being very cautious with these guys in the secondary this week if it means having them on the field for Green Bay next week.
Run that by me again?
I would be very careful rushing some of the secondary guys this week for the Viking game.
Okay.
And risk them not being able to come back and play against Green Bay. Now, obviously, they're going to make the best medical decision. I don't have any of that information. But it just is a general theory. I think if you were to choose a game where you really need these guys in the secondary to be healthy, it's Green Bay. It's not Minnesota.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I see where you're going. Yeah, absolutely.
Is that Aaron Rodgers?
You got Aaron Rodgers,
yes. Guys.
Okay. And I'll agree with you there. But I will tell you that, you know, a way that this team – I was trying to think of matchups. I was watching the game on, what is it, NFL Game Pass Rewind, whatever the heck it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I don't think the right and the left tackles for this Vikings offense are all that great.
And I think that's one of the spots where this Giants defense can maybe do some damage.
And so if they can get some pressure on Bradford.
I agree with you.
The Panthers blitzed him a lot, and there were some zone blitzes in there too, so they really tried to mix it up with him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think Spags will put a nice game plan together. But you're going to need to get pressure on the quarterback if you don't have your – you know, number one's in there in the secondary. But I will agree with you when you say if there was a time when, if we can hypothetically speak about this, a time when you didn't need all of your starters at DBs, it would be this week opposed to next week. But I agree with you there because Aaron Rodgers will light you up if you don't have your guys.
All right, 201-939-4513. Let's get right to the phones. I'm going to skip Jay in Scotland up the line here and go to line four first. Because imagine that's kind of an expensive call. Jay, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Doing well, Jay. What's on your mind?
Just want to talk about the receivers. I looked at the research on the Redskins game, and I saw it wasn't really going too deep. And I understand that they were playing two safety deep on the receivers and everything.
Yep.
How do we attack these Vikings with our receivers? Because I feel like we need to get Odell open and going early in the game, open up for the middle, because they were looking at that middle a lot in that Redskins game. I feel like we need to open up Odell and Cruz on the sidelines more and then work Shepard over the middle later in the game to, like wear down the defense. What do you guys think about
that? You know, Jay, I think that's a great question. It's funny. I watched back the Vikings defense against both Carolina and Green Bay, both excellent performances, but they played them, to me, Jeff, very differently. Against the Packers, they were on a single high safety the whole game, and they pressed man.
Right.
Against the Panthers, a lot more two safeties deep. See,
I didn't see the other game, but I saw the last game.
Yeah, and it was a lot of two deep against the Panthers, but against the Packers, it was almost complete single high the whole time. That's a good question. I don't know. I was going to ask you, the expert.
I think they got to go a little bit zone. I think they'll go zone.
If I was the Vikings, and Jay, your phone line's a little loud, man, so we have to let you go. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I think if I were the Vikings, I would take a look at what the Saints and what the Redskins did. And what the Saints and the Redskins did was play a lot of two safeties deep, make the Giants slowly matriculate your way down the field, and quite frankly, make the Giants earn all their points. Don't give away those free, easy, deep passes where you get that 180-yard thing for a score. Because quite frankly, the last couple games, the Giants have not been able to be consistent enough not to make those mistakes on those long drives, and they've struggled in the red zone to get the ball into the end zone. So my guess, folks, and as much as the Vikings love to play press man and put their corners out there and do it, I think against this Giants offense, right now, the thing that's worked best is have the two safeties play deep and make the Giants dink and dunk you down the field, rally to the ball, and see what happens. That'd be my guess.
Well, I mean, if you do that, I mean, then they're going to need to get some quick pressure on Eli because he gets the ball. If they're going to give him that underneath quick stuff. That might be a good game plan for the Giants. Get rid of the ball quickly, underneath, think, dunk.
Well, you can – I mean, you can play two safeties deep, play cover two, and jam at the line of scrimmage that way too.
Well,
you can press at the line and then have your two safeties over the top
to
play safe deep.
But it is hard to get those guys because of the rules to press the guys. You know what
I'm
saying nowadays? Mm-hmm. I mean, the league let them run off the line of scrimmage or there's going to be a holding foul or whatever. But, you know, you make the point about the Giants. You know, the first game against Dallas, they were 3-for-3 in the red zone. They've been 2-of-8 the last two games. So they've got to – and so in that theory, if they're going to let them just kind of, you know, get down in these dries and then – they shoot themselves in the red zone like they've been doing the last couple games, and that's your game plan right there, you know. But I'm more kind of not concerned. I want to see what this offense for. We know what the defense for the Vikings is going to do. They're tough. I mean, they're all around. Their personnel from top to bottom is very, very good. Offensively, I feel like that's the weakness. They don't have a running game. You know, their receivers, like you said, are not in nothing to write home about. I think their offensive line is a little bit, you know, they're not that great. And I think that the Giants defense can get after them. So that's kind of an equalizer. We'll see.
Yeah.
You see it being a high scoring game.
And I think Olivier Vernon and I think Jason Pierre-Paul can do some damage on the edge.
No question. And they're going to have to.
I think you really picked out the biggest advantage the Giants have in this game. Like, if you want to look at the Vikings and say, well, you know what, you really like their, you know, defensive line against the Giants' offensive line, for an example, I'm with you. I really love the Giants' defensive ends in this game. You have T.J. Clemmings out there at left tackle, really starting at that position for the first time this year. He did last week after Matt Khalil went out. So I think it's going to be a real opportunity for those Giants' defensive ends to get up the field. But I also think that North Turner is going to use a lot of play action, a lot of three-step stuff to get the ball out of Sam Bradford's hands quickly, the same way I'm sure the Giants will do with that Vikings pass rush.
Chess match.
I think low-scoring game, though. I don't think either team hits 24. Unless there's turnovers and returns and all that sort of stuff.
Well, talk about turnovers. You know you can't do it on the road if you're the Giants.
No.
That's a no-no.
If you lose the turnover battle in Minnesota against the Vikings, you will lose the game.
You will lose the game. There's no question because you know, listen, the Giants last week turning the ball over, so it's just they can't rely on the special teams and the defense to keep bailing them out like they did against the Saints. And it just goes to show you that you lose turnover battle, you're going to lose games.
Especially with the injuries you have on defense.
No question. No question. And you know what? Let's talk about that. Okay, this Giants defense has got to start getting some turnovers, like takeaways. I mean, zero. Right? I mean,
has one. Defense has zero.
Special teams basically has two. They have a blocked kick. I think I count that. Well, it didn't count because of the bonehead.
They had the first block kick that Jenkins returned for a touchdown. So they actually have two block kicks, one of which got brought back.
So they have a block. Yeah, they have a block field goal, a block punt, and then they also got a turnover on the first punt of the game. Remember,
Correct.
It hit the other guy.
Correct. So the special teams actually has almost had three.
Yeah.
Two that have counted.
Yeah, two and a half.
But technically, block kicks do not count as takeaways.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's a turnover.
Absolutely. Because you're getting
the ball in
the field
position
anyways. And all that stuff. Right.
Yeah, they were going to get the ball anyways, but they obviously – that's a big play, and that's a big momentum swing in a game as a block kick.
Oh, I forgot to give the poll a 12-20. I'm a little late. Sorry about that.
Who will play
a bigger role versus the Vikings? And this goes back to the Giants' banged-up secondary. Andrew Adams, the safety, or Michael Hunter, the corner? So
Michael Hunter, the corner.
Okay, there you go. Well, go place your vote. Check it out. Do you think it'll be Landon Collins and Leon Hall as the starting safeties?
I do.
And then you'll have Hunter, Wade, and Jenkins as the three corners, assuming DRC and Apple can't go?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. I just don't think you can put Adam I don't think you can put him. I was going to say Adam Gates.
I don't think you can put Adam Gates at safety. I don't think that's going to go real well.
No, you know what I mean.
Where the hell did you get Adam Gates at safety?
I think it was because of the Dolphins.
Because the game last night?
Yeah.
Boy, that
was. Which, by the way, was not a very good game.
That was a shellacking, huh? They're lucky the Bengals ended up 40 on. They couldn't score in the red zone.
And Adam Gates is a. Man. 0-3 for the Dolphins.
And I'll tell you what, they were lucky to beat. No, they won last week.
Oh, they're one and three.
Yes, they were lucky
to win
to beat the Cody Kessler-led Cleveland Browns,
yeah.
And they missed a couple easy field goals.
Yeah, wow!
Almost got knocked out of my knockout pool on that one.
And then color rush uniforms last night?
Very orange. I actually liked the Bengals jerseys last night. I thought they were cool. I liked Cincinnati's.
I didn't.
The orange ones I could do without.
And I'm not even going to give my opinion because I'm more of the old school. That's kind of the new thing, but, you know, whatever. Because I know my son who plays high school football, they love that all one uniform.
Yeah, that's not my thing. I don't like it.
I don't either, but the kids love it. They like it.
Yeah, these damn kids. Get off my lawn, says Jeff Eagles. Let's go to Charlie in Portland, Maine. He's up next. How you doing, Charlie?
Charlie.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, John. Hey.
Wow, what a good connection you got today. Are you actually in – are you on
– a line phone. I'm on a line
phone. That's
what
it is. Yeah,
usually. That's what it is, huh? Hey, this is like the Titanic, which is our offensive line, going against the Iceberg, which is their D-line. this is not good.
Hey, but Charlie, look, in fairness,
I
understand what you're saying, and it's a big danger matchup, but for the most part, in terms of pass protection at least, the Giants offensive line has been okay this year. It has been. Now, they haven't been challenged yet, like the way they'll be challenged against the Vikings.
That's
no
true.
Argument there, and we're going to see Linval Joseph, we're going to see Everson Griffin, Robeson on the other end, Sharif Floyd, and by the way, Daniel Hunter, who was a third-round pick a couple years ago, I think he has 3 sacks this year. So they have a nice rotation of guys that can really put some heat on the quarterback.
This would be the time to put in the veteran, Beatty. He needs to be there because we need somebody with some experience.
Charlie, I love you. Charlie, it's not happening.
You're going to have to get beat about three times.
Yes, that's correct. But I'm just telling you, until something like that happens, Bobby Hart is the starter. For your own mental health, my suggestion is that you move on.
This ain't going to look good, guys. And they got some good linebackers. But
they do. Let
me say this about the offense. It should be a low-scoring game, and we have to play a clean game. We can't have turnovers. But on offense, we need to do more screens, and I would even do a hook and ladder. If we're going to throw a lot of short
and we can't go
deep.
How about a flea flicker? You want one of those, too?
No, hook and ladder, you know, you have Odell trailing or something.
How about
or you
a halfback
trailing?
You want
and
a halfback option pass, a fake punt?
Charlie.
Like, you want to score points or do you want to not get any? Because Eli ain't going to have time to do much, I tell you that.
Is a real football game they're playing, by the way. This is not played with controllers, right? This is not a Madden football game.
I don't play Madden. I don't do fantasy football. Giants are fantasy football enough for me.
Hey, Charlie, just remember this. Jeff Eagles will always be against any fake punts because he's just very jealous that when he was here, they didn't allow him to run any fake punts.
Wow, how about the one against Washington, though?
Jeff, you think you could have threw that ball like that?
I knew I could have thrown it like that. There's no question. And I saw I saw the interview with him afterwards. That kid was great.
I didn't see it.
Oh, it was awesome. He's like, you know, when I was waiting to throw it, it felt like eternity. I was just like, oh my God, I gotta wait. And then he just chucked it up there.
It was a hell of a catch by Quentin Dunbar.
It was a
too.
Great play, and you know they had seen it in the first week of the practice tapes and stuff, or the game tapes. So they were waiting until they got to this game to run this thing. So they kept seeing it.
I think deep down inside, Jeff Eagles is like, you know what? I hope the punter completes the pass.
Oh, there's no question.
No, he wasn't.
I love when that happens, you know? But not in the Giant game.
Of course.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, one more thing is, why are we having, like, offensive players like Harris practicing safety when we've got B-Jack, Bennett Jackson, sitting out there, who was on the team, who wasn't playing safety? Why not bring him in, even if it's just for 1 week?
Because you don't have an open roster spot, Charlie.
You got to cut somebody.
What do you mean we don't have an open roster spot? What is Mr. Illness doing? Why don't we get rid of Mr. Illness, who's been there for the last 5 weeks with the bubonic plague, and put him on the practice squad and bring B-Jack in?
Charlie, first of all, you're funny. Number two, Robert Thomas actually spoke to the media yesterday. He said that he's back on the mend. He's not fully practicing yet, but I would expect Robert Thomas to be back into the mix in the next couple of weeks.
What is he, the reincarnation of Reggie White? I mean, this guy hasn't even played, and we've been keeping this guy like he's, you know, Reggie White incarnated.
Well,
I don't get it.
Charlie, in all seriousness, obviously they think he can help in the defensive tackle rotation. And quite frankly, you haven't really gotten a whole lot of production out of your defensive tackles behind Snacks and behind Hankins. You know what I mean?
Did he have a mask on when he was talking to the press?
He did not have a mask on, no. Thank you, Charlie.
The bubonic plague.
He's funny.
That you did, That's unbelievable. He is funny, though. Thank you, Charlie.
Mr. Illness.
Thank you. What's up with Mr. Illness? We got to – that's good.
All right, we have some results from our first poll question. Who will play a bigger role versus the Vikings, Andrew Adams or Michael Hunter? Again, you go to your Giants mobile app if you're watching or listening that way. Charlie just put me in a good mood. I was all cranky.
I was just going to say that, you know, we need a little comic relief. You could use a little comic relief. You got it.
You know what? This show puts me in a good mood, though. I enjoyed doing the show. All right, anyway.
Good.
So Andrew Adams got 53% so far, and Michael Hunter got 47%.
Well, what do you say?
We'll have a new poll question up at 12:40. I'm with you. I
got to go with some experience.
Because I think Hall is going to end up having to play more safety than corner, which will open things up for Michael Hunter.
Right.
I'm with you on that.
Okay, good. We agree.
201-939-4513. I believe Leonard Maryland was next up. He's been holding the longest. Hi, Leonard. You're nice and early in the show today. How are you?
Leonard?
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Len. How are you?
Good, good. Well, pretty good. And let me first off say I know I called too much this week, but hey, listen, I'm really getting into this season.
I haven't talked to you, Len. I'm excited to hear from you.
Week four,
I am just really, I'm into it. You know, John, you alluded to a couple of things earlier in the show about what we thought the Vikings might do, and I think you were spot on. You know, play the safeties deep, keep Odell out of the end zone. I can see them dropping those linebackers into the short zone. I don't think they need the linebackers to get to the quarterback.
Real quick, playing those two safeties deep, and I should have said this before, it was my fault for omitting it, was you can force a team to come out of that if you can run the ball well enough against a 6-7-man front.
Yeah,
so if the Giants can do that, you make the Vikings change their strategy.
You anticipated where I was going with this, and that is the way to stop all this, of course, is with a run game.
Yeah.
And, of course, with we're down the starter, we're down the second string guy. They got a tough front four. You know, our offensive line has been okay. I mean, I'm not terribly disappointed in the play of the offensive line.
I agree.
Even in the run game. I mean, you remember last week, all I wanted was 100 yards, and we got 120. I thought if we could gain 100 yards, we'd win the game.
And, Len, you know what?
And, you know, we got to 120.
Yeah, Len, it's something I didn't mention when I did the show on Tuesday with Sean O'Hara. I guess I mentioned it briefly, but I think the team could have stuck with the running game a little bit later in that game a little bit. I think they went away from it maybe a little bit too much considering how much success they were having with it.
Right. I agree. That was, you know, given who we were playing there, I think that was pretty – I mean, I thought we were doing pretty good with the run game.
Yeah, we were.
And I think we should have started. You know, so they'll leave it up to that front four to get to the quarterback and, you know, clock up, you know, stop the run. And even if we, you know, we break off an 8-yarder or a 10-yarder, you alluded to something that I think is becoming part of the game plan. I'm almost positive it was part of the Saints game plan. I think he looked at his team. Peyton looked at his team, and he said, "These guys can't run 10 plays without making a mistake." And that's the part that I'm starting to get worried about. And I'm not talking about interception. It's always there, possibility. Fumble, it's there, possibility. Penalty. I think that's becoming part of the thinking from these coaches. The Giants can't run 10 plays in a row without making a mistake.
Yeah, and Len, I think that's the deal. You mentioned it could be any one of those things. It could be a fumble.
Yeah.
It can be a pick.
Yeah.
It could be a penalty. It could even be something as simple as a drop pass on a third down. Any one of those things can short-circuit a drive.
Especially the penalties.
The more plays you run, this is true of any team in the NFL, but the more plays you run, there's a possibility you're going to make a mistake. But I think the thinking is with the Giants. We looked at it, that let's keep them, you know, make them really, really earn it. Have to run 10 or 12 plays. We don't think they can do it. Maybe they settle for a field goal. You know, we keep their score low. We can get 2 or 3 touchdowns, thinking Minnesota now, and we win this ball game 21-13
Len, I agree. I think right now the best thing the Giants can have going for them right now is making a big play on offense. Because if you make that big 70-yard throw to Odell Beckham Jr., you're not worried about a penalty.
Yeah.
You're not worried about a drop pass. You got your 7 points, and you're off the field.
Sure.
Yeah. And also, I think I think from a situational standpoint, I think we gotta change it up a little bit against this team. Yeah, you know, let's throw on first down. And let's use second down as our big strike down. Instead of waiting for, you know, third and eight, third and nine, let's make second down that big strike possibility and change up the routine a little bit. And, you know, the short passing game, I think teams are starting to tap into it. I mean, first series Sunday against the Redskins, second down, 2 yard pass to Larry Donnell. I mean, come on. You know, let's take advantage, even Tavares King. Let's take advantage of the speed at wide receivers. I mean, you know, leave the tight ends in to help with the blocking. Let's rely on Shepard, Cruz, and Odell to get this thing done on Monday night. It's going to be a tough crowd. It's going to be a tough game. I never think we're going to lose a game. That's my problem. It's why I don't gamble. I never think the Giants are going to lose. And I think they're going to win on Monday night. But it is going to be tough. But I think we have to change things up. I don't want to go as radical as Charlie with a hook and ladder and things of that nature. But I think in certain situations we can do things a little differently.
You know, how about this one, Len? I have one idea for a little bit of a trick play, and I have not seen this at practice. This is me coming up with it on my own. I think you're okay. I think this Giants defense is good enough to force the Vikings to punt. Half dozen, you know, four to five times in this game, sure.
Yeah.
How about on one of those plays you run the same thing you did against the Jets last year, where you have Harris and Beckham back there,
reverse,
and you either fake the end around or you fake the throw across or do something funky on a punt return, get Odell involved to try to make a big play on special teams.
You know, very interesting because, and I know you guys have probably noticed, but pregame, when the Giants practice, their last pregame practice play on Sunday is the punt formation. And who's back returning the punt, Sean? Have you noticed?
I'm guessing you're going to say Odell Beckham Jr. I have not noticed that,
It's Odell, and he puts on a show for the fans. The punt comes down. At the last second, a hand goes up, and he snatches that ball right out of the air.
Ricky Henderson style.
It's really pretty entertaining. Look for it. Maybe they'll do it. Maybe they'll do that on Monday night. But it really is, and it kind of gets the crowd into it. Now, I don't know. You know, the other team is, I don't know what they're watching there. You know, you get into that distraction thing that Coach talked about the other day. That's a whole different conversation. But that's so, John, who knows? Maybe this is the time when we try something like that, where we get Beckham back there real quick. Hey, can I ask Jeff a quick question?
Yeah, real fast, Len. Real fast. Then we got to go.
Okay. Jeff, you know, Wade was on the gunner, and it was one-on-one with the gunner with Harris back to return the punt.
Okay.
He doesn't have a choice as to whether or not he jams the gunner or runs with him down the field, does he? I mean, that's by design. The way Wade played that play.
That's by design.
I mean, he was off the gunner. He was off the gunner, and he ran with the gunner down the field. Now, that's not Wade's choice, is it? That's part of
– No, that's
– It may not
– No, all the gunners are taught to jam the guys at the line of scrimmage because those are the only guys that are running down there before the ball is kicked. So they want to try to get them jammed at the line of scrimmage. But remember, you can only stay with them for 5 yards, and then you got to let them go.
Even on punts?
Even on punts.
Well, I didn't notice.
You can't jam the guy
Wade
down the field
that?
The whole
did
time.
Wade jam,
free run.
Did he try to jam the gunner? I didn't notice, really.
I'm not sure myself.
I thought he ran free.
Well,
that's
you know what? If he ran free, it's not a matter of him. I mean, he might have got free. Do you know what I'm saying?
He just let him go.
Thank you,
Len.
Okay.
Have a good one, man. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Real quick, before we get to our next three callers, we're going to play.
You know what? I take that back.
I think you can carry that down.
You know what? Because on that play, when you're running down, these guys, they're blocking the guy.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can't block him out of bounds. I know that. But.
That's correct. And the offensive player can't run out of bounds.
Cannot go out of bounds.
So
yeah.
Both of those are penalties. All right. We're gonna play. Did you play with?
Oh,
Jeff Eagles?
Da, da, da.
All right. And then we have four callers, and we'll get all four of you guys in before we say goodbye. Okay.
And I can't cheat because my computer isn't connecting with the internet. So that's.
Did you ever play? And I might see if I have this last name pronunciation right. Did you ever play on the same team as Fabian Bones? B-O-W-N-E-S. Fabian Bones or Bonus, one of those others.
Fabian Bones, Arizona Cardinals, Gunner, right? Yes, the answer is yes, by the way.
You got one of those wrong.
But no, so Fabian, yes, I played with Fabian.
Yes, you did play with Fabian. That is
he was
correct.
A wide receiver.
That is correct. He was 5'11", 185.
And
now you have two more you got to get right.
All right, so Fabian, I'm just trying to think, was he with me with the Cardinals or was he with me with the Eagles? Am I close?
You're wrong on both. So he played with the Seattle Seahawks.
All right, Fabian. Yeah, well, he was a gunner. He was one of my gunners on the punt team.
Now, do you remember, can you tell me, what years are you in Seattle?
Well, I was there in 1998 to 2002.
Oh, Jeff.
What?
This guy played with you for 3 years in Seattle.
I you know what? I told you I'm not good at this. Okay? I got the name right. I know he was on the roster with me. I know he was one of my gunners. And I'm just trying to remember where it was. Well, you know.
Is this yours?
Am I at 500 now?
Yeah, that's because you only got two out of the four. You didn't get the year or the team right.
Okay.
So now you're at 4-4.
We got one more?
No, I'm just doing one today.
All right.
I got four calls. I want to get them all in, all right? 201.
That's absolutely
see,
ridiculous.
So Charlie made me happy, and that made me happy. I stumped you again. And he was on your special. He was a gunner, too.
He was good. He was good, too.
Come on, Fabian. Man.
Good dude. Good guy.
One of these days, I'm going to pick one of your long snappers and see if you get that wrong.
I will not get that wrong. I can tell you that.
Even team and year?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
All right, here we go. 201-939.
And I will go on record and tell you, I'll give you 100% on the long snap.
100%, huh?
And then you know why? Well, one, because I
would hope so. You guys are all best friends.
Yeah, we all hung around together. So there's no way that you're going to tell me that Joe Smith was your long snapper, and I'm going to say no, and you're going to say, oh, yes, he was.
I'm not even sure I can look up who your long snappers were, because there are no stats to, like, identify somebody as the long snapper.
Well, if you go way back, they didn't list them on here as they do now because, you know, look special teams, they have LS.
Right. Well, here's a question for you. Who are your long – when you play, how many years were you in Philadelphia?
Four.
Who are your long snappers when you're in Philly?
wait a second.
You just guaranteed you know all of them. I'm putting your apparently reckless guarantee to the test.
Harper LaBelle was one of them.
Okay.
Okay, like you know.
I have no idea who they are. No, literally, you could say.
And Johnny Thomas.
You could say any name, and I'd be like, okay.
No, Harper.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, Harper LaBelle was one of them. But,
did you have more than one?
Yes.
Do you remember your others?
Yes. But we got to get to the call, man. Come on.
Big liar. 201-939.
You know what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm going to look at every one of our long snapper friends.
201-939-4513. Oh, this game gets better every week.
It gets hard every week.
Oh, boy. All right, let's go to James in Philadelphia. He's been holding the longest. James, how are you, buddy?
James, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, Dan?
Doing well, James. How are you?
You been in Philly long enough to remember when I played for them?
Say it again?
You been in Philly long enough to know when I played for the Eagles back in the day, or no?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm a Giants fan.
Oh,
I remember.
Okay. Just curious.
I remember. I've been a fan since when LT first joined the team.
Nice.
All right. Well,
all right,
that
James,
was
what
way
you got for us today?
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about kind of trying to control Minnesota offense and why I think we didn't really control Redskins' defense, and everybody's saying the defense wasn't the same. I think it was the defensive play calling because we blitzed the Saints. You know, you got this Hall of Fame quarterback, you blitz him, but they let Cousins sit back all day and throw the ball. I think that's one.
Well, James, I want to just interrupt you real quick. Do you think that perhaps one of the reasons they didn't blitz the Redskins as much is because Eli Apple, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, and Darian Thompson all weren't in the game at the same time?
I understand that, but
it's a big difference.
Yeah,
but I would take the chances to blitz him a little bit. Mm. But yeah, he just had entirely too much time to sit back there and do it. I think he would make more mistakes. And
I don't know, man. Get that number 11 running around all day.
And the other thing was when McAdoo always saying that he liked, you know, when Eli get aggressive and this and that. Why every time when they have a bad play or a sack or whatever, and it's second and 15, they run the same old draw play? instead of trying to get like at least half of it back, and then on third down, you maybe can have a third and eight and stuff like that instead of having a third and 12, then run it again and punt.
Well, I mean, James, you know, I mean, the goal on the draw play is not to get 3 yards. The draw on the goal on the goal on the draw play is because the other team's in a nickel or dime is to get 6 or 7 or 8 yards to make it a third and 7.
Right, but I'm saying everybody and their mother know they're running the draw play. So, I mean, I know it every time I'm sitting there watching. I'm pretty sure the other defensive coordinators do it also.
But like John said, they have the personnel in the game that they should be able to get 7 or 8 yards on a draw. It's almost a given. So that they want to get their third down and manageable, maybe third and 7, third and 8.
Right, but you notice how often they get it? They really – I mean, except for the one time Shane Vereen, he broke out and got a long one on one of the plays. I mean, but that just, like, drive me crazy. I was like, come on, let's throw a little – 8-yard pass or whatever, or it might break out into a bigger one, but it just seems like it's a predictable play.
It is a predictable play, but what happens if that play is incomplete? Now you're at 3rd and 15, you're going to run the draw again. So you see what I'm saying? It's like they want to get some yards on that second down, you know, that they can count on. You can't count on either of them, you know what I'm saying, but it's more likely if you draw the ball, you're going to get some positive yards running it because of the personnel that's in the game. But if you miss the throw, you're now at 3rd and 15, and now there's not many plays that you can draw up 3rd and 15. So you're probably going to run the draw play and just concede the series and punt.
But yeah, you're correct. But this is the thing. Now when their back was against the wall in the fourth quarter, when we was making that long. I mean, we had to go down the field to kick the field goal before Eli threw the interception. We had a 3rd and 15, and what happened? He completed it.
Well, I mean,
they just got to try.
Sure.
You know what I'm
saying? Well, I know. I get what you're saying, but I think you got to get what we're saying too.
Thank you, James.
Yeah. James, see you later, James.
Appreciate it. I want to continue on his point here.
Yeah.
I got the play-by-play from the Redskins game up. Okay.
On which one?
Giants Redskins.
No, but okay, the whole game or just a particular one?
I'm going to go through the whole game here real quick.
You're going to give me some second downs.
I'm going to give you some second and third and longs.
Okay.
First series of the game, 2nd and 8. As Len pointed out on his call, 2-yard pass to Larry Donnell to make it 3rd and 6. Okay? That's number one. Next series, the longest thing you had was 2nd and 7. I don't think that would qualify. So let's go to the second quarter of this game. Giants had a 3rd and 8. They threw a 26-yard pass to Odell Beckham Jr. That's not bad. On a 2nd and 10, on that same possession, they ran it the left guard to Vereen for 2 yards. That's after an incomplete pass on first down, by the way. A 2nd and 22. This is where you get into a thing where you're like, I can't believe this didn't work. But on a second and 22, they ran it up the middle of Orleans Darkwa when they lost 2 yards.
Well, what was the first down play? They got him, and was there a penalty?
That would be the Eli sack fumble.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Okay, sure. So then they ran up the middle on a 2nd and 22.
Yeah, but how do you lose 2 yards when you're on a 2nd and 22?
That's
bad execution by the players.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question.
Next possession, let's see, for the Giants, they had a 2nd and 16 after an Eric Flowers offensive holding penalty. They ran Vereen. He got 3 yards. That made it 3rd and 13, and that's when Eli Manning actually completed a 15-yard pass to Victor Cruz for a first down. Let's see, next Giants possession, they had a 2nd and 12.
Wow.
They ran Vereen for 5 yards, which is where you want to get, and you're at a 3rd and 7. Unfortunately, Eric Flowers got called for a face mask on that play. And then on a 2nd and 27, Eli Manning threw a short pass to the left to Shane Vereen. So we're seeing a decent mix here of different things. And, of course, Shane Vereen happened to fumble on that play, and the Redskins happened to recover. Going into the second half real quick, 1st and 15, they ran Darkwa at the middle for 2. 2nd and 13, Darkwa left tackle for 4. That made it 3rd and 9 on the incomplete pass by Eli Manning. Giants' next possession. Wait, when did they lost the game? They're in 2nd and 10 every series. Jeez.
Or longer.
On a 2nd and 10, Orleans Darkwa for 13 yards, first down. Then you have a 2nd and 11, throw to Odell Beckham Jr., incomplete. Then that turned to 3rd and 11. That was also incomplete. So we're seeing a decent mix of plays here, about half and half.
Seen a lot of second down, not a lot of production on first down.
Yeah, that would be correct. let's see. The Giants were intercepted on the next drive after 4 straight first down passes. 1 2nd and 10. Vereen ran for 16 yards. So we've had, by the way, 2 2nd and 10s
of
first down runs.
Yeah, 1 of 22 and 1 of 16.
Exactly. A 2nd and 10 on that same drive, an incomplete pass to Beckham, so another pass on a 2nd and 10. So to say that they're drawing it every time on 2nd and long, it's just not true.
Well, those
and two of them worked.
Well, were they draws?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So let's just say that they were. They still got the big plays. So,
right. Yeah. So just saying. It's like not easy to say that. You know what's coming and it never works.
Yeah, I mean, back in the Gilbride day, we knew it was 2nd and 10. It was a draw. Every single time. Right?
Enough. I wouldn't say every time. But I think you had some screen passes mixed in there.
Yeah,
too.
I know. I would
and
say
bubble screens.
Every
and stuff like
is
that.
A big word. Every time means
right.
Every time. So you're right. But it was often.
201-939-4513. We'll be in Abdul's backyard in a few days. He's in Minnesota. Abdul, are you going to be at the game on Monday night?
Yeah, that's what I was calling. Where are you guys going to be? Like, how can I find you guys?
You know what?
You can find him there. You can't find me.
The road is tough, Abdul, because we're basically in the press box where, you know, fans generally aren't in that area for most of the game. We don't do anything outside or anything like that for road games, so it might be tough. Do me a favor. Pop me a tweet. Let me know where you're going to be at, and maybe we can figure out a way to meet real quick, all right?
Sounds good, yeah, because I live right across the street from the stadium.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'll be there early.
Very good.
So anyway, I was like, Len basically covered everything I wanted to say about our offense. But I was looking at some cut-ups from tape, and it seemed like Eli missed a bunch of passes downfield.
Yep.
And this new philosophy of the short, is he kind of like out of practice by looking downfield? Because it seems like he's just so quick just to dump him off, you know, to the tight end and stuff. That he missed Odell, you know, a few times downfield. He missed Shepard a few times downfield, and it seems like we need to start chucking the ball. Like yesterday, I was watching the game last night, and Dalton just threw one down to AJ, and let AJ make a play. And it seems like Eli has stopped doing that. And
well, AJ is also 6'5".
He's
right.
Huge. He's huge.
Which is leading to my next question. Do you think the fact that we don't have a traditional X on our roster that we're kind of suffering from that? You know, like, you know, I love our talent of our receivers,
yeah,
but they're all kind of out of the same kind of.
What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I know that Shepard has a 41-inch vertical. I know that Odell Beckham can get up in the air too, so I don't think so.
Right.
The
so
one thing I will
I
say, Abdul, real fast, from my perspective, and this is real quick, the one thing, and Odell Beckham's good at a lot of things, the one thing he and Eli Manning have not figured out how to connect on yet is the back shoulder throw.
Right.
And I think that's really a factor, to be honest with you, because that's one of those plays you can make even when the coverage is good.
Yeah.
But you've noticed that, right, Jeff? They really don't have the timing down on that back shoulder throw between those two
guys.
I
see it more with Victor Cruz got
Absolutely.
It down big time. And that's just, I think, over time, maybe, you know?
You dropped me off.
No, we didn't. Abdul,
no,
you're still there.
No, I'm dropping you off.
Abdul, you're still there.
Yeah.
Hello?
I'm back here. Sorry, guys.
We didn't cut you off, man. We got you.
It just seems like something, the downfield pass, which was for such a long time the bread and butter of this offense, it's kind of got away. And it's a shame because we have such good receivers. And I think we're becoming a little predictable. I've been watching the Vikings. You know, the Vikings are good. They're for real team, but they're also they have flaws in them. Like their O line is kind of banged up like us.
Yep.
You know, the running back, of course, we all know he's kind of banged up, and they basically have only one receiver, a really good receiver, but that's basically it.
Yep.
So I think if we have some kind of momentum on offense, we could be okay. But that's a big if because Griffin is going to tear apart Flowers, you know, I that's what I'm going to put it because I don't see how Flowers is going to, you know, we need to have Ty and then another someone else coming across helping Griffin because I haven't been helping Flowers. I see that as being, you know, it's going to be scary. That's all I can say because Griffin is a player. You know what I mean? So,
all right, thank
anyway,
you, Abdul.
Hopefully, I'm going to the Ryder Cup this weekend too, so it's going to be a full on.
Oh, that is a nice weekend for you, pal. I appreciate the call, Abdul. Have fun, man. Take it easy. I'm going to get two more calls, and before we say goodbye, I only got 4 minutes. Dexter's in Las Vegas. He's up next, and Robin in Atlanta, you'll be last. Dexter, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Dex.
Hi.
Hey, Figo, I just want to tell you you're great, man. You're great. You were one of my favorites.
Thank you.
My thing is, it's going to be, to me, it's going to be the game on with the Minnesota is going to be Eli and Bradford. It's going to be against them two. It's going to be either we're going to be on Eli's shoulder and he's going to have to take us through that game because as far as our defense, it's going to be our defense against their defense. They got a great defense, but the thing about it is, with our backfield, if we got to depend on Wade to do anything and stuff, I don't think we're going to have a good percentage with that, because he wasn't that great last year, and he's not that great this year either. So if we don't bring anybody in, I think we're going to have a problem.
Well, Dexter, remember, the one good thing, though, is that the Vikings don't have an array of wide receivers to throw at you either. So if you put Janoris Jenkins on Stephon Diggs, let him follow him around, as Abdul pointed out, they don't have a bunch of other weapons that are going to kill you unless they unveil Laquon Treadwell and he runs around and has some kind of big game in week four.
I mean, Diggs is
that's
the guy.
That's true. But if we can lock him down and stuff, I think we'll do great. And, hey, John, I don't think you remember me, but it was I think it was last year and stuff. I was the one that called it and said that every time Charlie gets on the phone and stuff, he hits a damper of lemon in my tea. But Charlie's been on point, and he made me laugh this morning, though. Charlie was on point this morning.
Man. Thank you, Dexter.
Yeah, he did.
Take it easy, buddy.
Yeah, he even cheered up John, because John was not in a good mood before we got on the air, and now he's in a great mood. So thank you, Charlie.
Great might be an overstatement, but better, for sure.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't use great a lot, because that is an overstatement.
Great in every.
You're doing better. In every facet of broadcasting.
I feel like you've been watching a lot of ESPN First Take. You've been very, like, every great. You've been very, like, over the top today.
No, I have not been watching any of that, by the way. I guess that's just me.
Where every day everything is either the best, the worst, or, whatever.
This has been a great show.
I think it might be the best one we've ever done.
Best that we've ever done.
Let's go to Robin in Atlanta. Robin will wrap us up today. Robin,
how are you?
This will
probably be the best call of the day.
Yeah.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Hi, Robin.
Good.
All right, for the Vikings game, man, I think we should try to get the ball to our wide receivers, Odell, Shepard, and Cruz. I think if we get the ball out to them, they're proven so far for the season that they can make plays. So,
Robin, you're
forget about the tight ends. The tight ends, they don't do us no good. All they do is just cause us heartache, man. That's all.
Robin, I hear what you're saying.
We don't really have no bunch of tight ends on the team.
Robin, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to throw a stat out there for you. I did not throw this out there before, and then I'll let you finish whatever else you want to talk about. But so far this year,
with the trio?
And I'm looking for the trio stat, and I can't find it. Where is it? Here we go. Giants throwing to wide receivers. Eli Manning is 46 of 64 for 708 yards, a 117 quarterback rating.
Wow, that's impressive.
Three touchdowns and one pick. But the other number is that all three Giant wide receivers are on pace to finish with 1,000 yards. Beckham, 1,493. Sterling Shepard, 1,243. And Victor Cruz, 1,040. Which, by the way, would be the most receiving yards, I believe, by a trio in NFL history, if I'm not mistaken. But it's close. So all those people that say the Giants aren't throwing enough to their wide receivers, they're setting records here, folks. They're throwing to them plenty. All right, Robin, finish up.
So, yes, they need to throw to them.
Do you guys know if Jennings going to be playing this game, or
don't
is he questionable or something?
We don't know.
We don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see.
I have no idea.
Okay.
We don't get the news.
All right, Robin. Appreciate it, my friend.
That's pretty much it, man.
All right, well, thanks for calling.
This Sunday, Monday.
Yeah. I would very much prefer to have a happy overnight flight from Minnesota. By the way, I think I'm cranky today.
Oh.
How about Tuesday when I'm hosting the show on about 3 hours of sleep off a plane? Oh, boy, that could be bad.
Yeah, I don't miss those days. I don't miss those days.
Honestly, I'll probably sleep here Monday night.
And what about the
I'll probably get home and I'll probably sleep here.
And Green Bay, too, next week. Let's just stay out there. I mean, they're right next to each other.
Luckily, the other two night games we have are at home, Cincinnati and Dallas, and then our final night game on Thursday night's at Philly, which is a virtual home game. Because, it's only an hour down the pike. So that's not bad. So we're getting our two early season night games. And, Dallas is no fun, even at 4 o'clock. You're getting home at 2 in the morning.
Yeah,
which stinks.
Yeah.
It's not Dallas at night, though. Dallas night game on the road is the worst.
Ridiculous.
It's terrible.
That's like playing a West Coast 8:30 game.
Yeah, it's bad.
That you're missing. You're not getting home until 6, 7 o'clock in the morning.
No, it's awful. And Minnesota's not going to be much better. Well, Dallas is, about an hour longer flight than Minnesota? And they're both central time zone.
It's probably an hour longer. Yeah, so Minnesota's maybe two and a half, 3 hours from here.
So let's say Minnesota ends at 11:30 Eastern time, right? It takes you 2 hours to get on the plane and get in the air?
1:30, 3:30.
You're looking at a 2.5 hour flight?
Looking at
4:30. You're landing at 4. You're getting back to the facility at 4:30, 4:45. If you want to go home, you're not getting home till 5:30. And then all of a sudden, you got to be at work at 9. You might as well sleep here. The key now is when you get here. This is a little inside stuff for you folks out there. If you're a staff member, you want to sleep here. You got to get your butt into that players' lounge
as soon as
you get off the plane
and
grab one of the couches.
Yeah.
Because that's prime sleeping real estate in the facility. That's where you want to be if you're sleeping here. Because you don't want to get stuck on the floor in your chair. You want to get the couch.
I'm trying to think where else would you be able to just – that's about it, right? Oh, how about the red couch out in the hallway?
You don't want to be in the hallway, though.
Well, better than being on the ground.
You know? I guess. You can, like, put out some, like, jackets and lay on those in, like, the bottom of my office or something.
I think we're going to get John one of those air mattresses for Christmas.
Well, the coaches
have
them all in their offices.
Just turn that thing on and, boop, there it is.
Are you going to be the one that's going to try to fit the air mattress into my little office?
Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, there is no air mattress small enough to go into Schmuck's office.
No, there is not.
He can barely sit in his own office, let alone sleep there.
Closet, I believe, is the term that's used most for it.
Yeah, no, that's not going to work. So, all right, you're not getting that then.
Maybe I can call Fabian Bowens. Maybe I can stay with him.
You might be able to. He's from Chicago. I know
so
that.
So you know where he's from. You should know what TV was on when you played with him.
Only the important thing. Where you're from and, you know, what position you played. I have no idea what you did for me. Obviously, you did very well covering kicks. That's funny. I'm Fabian, if you're watching the show, I know you're not.
You're on a losing streak, by the way.
I'm sorry.
You got two straight wrongs.
Well, listen, I got an extra day this week, so maybe Sunday I'll just pull up all the rosters of my 22 years and start studying them.
All right, everybody. It'll be a big two-game stretch for the Giants here.
Yes, let's go, G-Man.
The Giants here, in my opinion, their toughest two-game stretch of the season.
Oh, no question.
On the road against two good NFC North opponents. So do your best. See if they can pull home a win or two. Would be fantastic.
Got to play
well. And then
the
Giants come back home and play the Ravens in a few weeks. That's all we have today for you.
That's it.
On Big Blue Kickoff Live. For Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmelk. Enjoy your Giant footballless Saturday and Sunday. Watch some other NFL games.
Finally.
And then we'll be back with you on Monday afternoon. I believe it is Lancet and Nita on Monday afternoon. And then it'll be Monday Night Football. Pregame show on WFAN comes your way at 7 o'clock. This guy, myself, Meadow, Dottino, will have everything for you to get ready for game night. Giants and Vikings Monday Night Football. We'll see you then, everybody. Have a great weekend.